turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, then if you'll turn as well to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to preach this message in two parts. I'll do the first part this morning, and I'll do the other part tonight. And then if I notice that you're not listening good, I might just do both parts this morning. Yeah. So stay tuned, and I hope you'll be engaged in all of this, and we'll kind of lay a foundation this morning. And I'm going to preach, but I want to reason with you. That is not unbiblical, right? To reason out the Scriptures.
Yes.
The Scriptures mean something. They look like something when they're lived out.
Right.
It's not just thinking right theologically. It is believing that we have the absolute Word of God before us,
right,
and that not only does it mean that we have it, but that it looks like something tomorrow. It looks like something today. It lives out. It has to be lived out in our lives in particular ways.
Right.
And so I want to talk about a particular aspect of our lives that we take for granted that is presented in this text. I'll just read the first couple verses. Tonight we'll go through verse 7, but Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we'll just read the first couple verses. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty. Now, but he's still talking about the house of God here, that this is conduct in the house of God. So verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. The rest of the verses through verse 7 has to do with some of our conduct and our view towards gathering at the house of God. And so we're only going to deal with the first part of verse 1. We'll be true to the context, but we just won't get any further until tonight. Let me pray, and then we'll jump in and see what we can understand of God's word. Father, thank you for the folks that have gathered here. There's no way that any preacher can know what it took for each person to get here. Some that are in the habit, it's routine in a good way for them, and others maybe it was a struggle. Regardless, we're gathered around you, and you can do something significant. I don't want to waste their time. I'm confident they don't want to waste their time. And so I pray that we would strive to understand the truth that is before us. If you preserved it for 2,000 years and more, then it must have relevance today. It must have meaning. And I pray that meaning would be clearer. And not just that we would understand the meaning, but that it would be meaningful to us. And it would affect our hearts and our minds. Help me to be clear. I pray that you would receive the honor and the glory from both of our understanding and then doing something with what we hear. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. You can just hold your place there in 1 Timothy 3. We'll be there shortly. I have to try to get you to think about something that is such a simple concept. It is something that you are unaware of every moment of your life, and because it is so common, then it is something we don't think about after a little while, except in particular circumstances, and yet it has significant meaning. And when I tell you, you're going to think, okay, I don't need to listen to this because this is just like too simple or too mundane. And I want to talk to you about spaces, a place. We are always in a specific place. We take up a space. Every moment of your day, you are in a particular place, and usually in a particular place that has some meaning to you.
Right.
And when you're not in that place, then it's because you've gone to the next place You've gone to another space on the planet that has some purpose or was designed to have some meaning. And in fact, in most of these spaces, we have built structures, physical structures, that represent something necessary or important to us. You have a home. And it is a structure that is built particularly for a family to live in. And there are spaces within the structure of that home that have very specific purposes. There is a bedroom for sleeping. You have a living room where a family can spend time together and maybe just enjoy fellowship or play some games or watch something on television. You have a kitchen that is designed efficiently for the preparation of food. You have a dining room for eating food. And you have a garage to store all this stuff in and just pack it full. And you have these spaces. You have a backyard that might be designed to play. And you have something that you don't even think about sometimes. You just go there. But I'm trying to get you to recognize it is a space that has been designed specifically and efficiently and effectively for something that's important to you. That's what it is. We build stores, and there are things that you need. We need to buy these things. We have necessities, we have desires, and so there are these big spaces like Walmart or like I got to enjoy Shields again yesterday, and it's just like the mecca of shopping for a man, for anybody just about. But you go there and you just realize every place you look in Shields, it has been designed for people to come and shop and buy things. And I'm sure there's some things there we need, but there's a bunch of things there that we want. Can I get an amen to that one right there? Because that's a pretty special place. And this, it's huge. But every bit of that space was designed for a purpose of people being able to go there and buy something, to sell something. And in their case, very specific categories. We have places that, like the new one that you have, or at least it's new to me, the gas station, the convenience store down here now. And I mean, you have, they are designed, especially the part with these pumps where a vehicle pulls up and you put fuel in there and enables your vehicle to go further. And you can go visit somebody. You can drive on the roads, and you have convenience stores where you can buy some snacks. We have schools, and schools are designed for learning. We have colleges, universities, and the spaces are made very specific to being able to learn knowledge or to learn some skill. You have like vo-tech schools, vocational schools, where you can learn some of those things. We have restaurants where if you want a specific kind of food, you can go there. I was introduced last night to Carnival. We have a good God, don't we? You want to know what's better than that? My own son paid for it. I think he's getting paid too much, Brother Jed, if he can take it. What's even greater is he bought his sister's Carnival meal. You know, that's even greater. And, you know, and of course, coming from Oklahoma, we have Texas Day Brazil, and it's great. And Samuel said, I think this might be better than Texas Day Brazil. Like, no, it's not. I'm telling you. Carnival was better than Texas Day Brazil. Amen. So you need to treat that place right so it stays, because I want to come back there again. It's designed for me. You just want a hamburger, you have places to go. But you go to Carnival, I mean, it has been designed to have all these different meats, and I had shrimp. I won't get into it because some of you will leave early to try to make it in time. We have, you know, we build stadiums for sports. Concert halls. I just want to remind you of all of these spaces, these places that are designed for something specific, and they are tuned for their specific purpose. More times than not, their appearance. They don't want to hide what they are. They want to make it clear, this is what we are. We are a school. We are a retail place. We are a sports facility. We are a restaurant. And they want to make it very attractive. They want to draw people in for that very purpose. And so the appearance is tuned for its purpose. The training of the people inside, they are trained for that specific purpose, and they go to great lengths, at least most of the places we go to, they go to great lengths to be sure they know what to say and how to say it and where to find this and how to help the customer do this and how to handle this kind of a difficulty. And they do that in that space just so they can make it effective for what they do. They design processes so that when the customer comes in and then goes out, they want the customer to get what they need, and they want to be able to make the money. They want to accomplish a profit, and they have these processes that they put in place, and they expect the employees to follow those. And there are expectations that are placed on those who perform those functions. Now, what's interesting is these places, they're not necessarily exclusive to what they represent, but they are concentrated. Let me explain what I mean by that. So they're not exclusive, but they are concentrated. So for example, if you want to get to know another family, you could get to know them at the park. Or you might just pass by somebody in Walmart, and you might meet them, and you'll form an opinion or two, and the longer you talk to them, you'll get an idea of, oh, these are your kids, and you work here, where do you live? Oh, you live over here. And you can get to know a family at Walmart, at the park that way, but if you really want to get to know that family, go to their home. Sure. Go to their space. Go to the place specifically designed for them to reside there. Go sit in the living room and look at the pictures on the wall. Watch how the husband and the wife interact. Watch how they deal with their children. Watch how their children behave. Look on the coffee table and see the books or the magazines that are laying around. See if they have a television in the living room. And if they do, what is it turned to? Just listen to them talk for a little while. And when you go to their space, you get to know them better than you ever could any other way, because that's the space designed for them. You can learn anywhere at any time, but there are spaces designed, whether that would be in a school, in a classroom that is tuned for that. I know we schooled, I should not say we, my wife would smile, my wife mostly schooled our children at home. And we had spaces that were designed just for that, because it made learning easier. It freed from some of the distraction. And there were rules that had to be followed that facilitated learning. And so there were spaces for that. I go into all that because you don't necessarily think about that. We just live that. We live from space to space to space, and probably in a day you may go to 5, 6, 10 different spaces of the kind that I'm talking about. And so when Ecclesiastes chapter 5 comes, it reminds us of an important space in the very first verse. Our text tells us that there's a structure that is built for another vital part of our lives, a crucial part of our lives. And it is called the house of God.
Amen.
The house of God.
Yes, sir.
That's His space. These are places that are built to put the focus on God.
Right.
To give Him some chance of being represented accurately.
Amen. Yes.
The way that He wants to be portrayed. And they represent Him. These spaces are designed in order to prioritize Him above everything else. And in Sioux Falls and surrounding communities, with all of these spaces that exist of all the different kinds, you have a space that is considered the house of God.
Yes.
Hold your place there and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This would be predictable, the verse I would read here, and that's okay, because it should come to our minds when Paul is training a young pastor and explaining to him about how to pastor. He says in verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "But if I tarry long," he had just said he's hoping to come see him, but he says, "But if it takes me longer than I intended, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the what? The house of God, which is the what? The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So I just, you can go back to Ecclesiastes. I just wanted to make it clear that this is not me just trying to force an interpretation on you, that this is thought of as the house of God, because this is a church. This is a local church. And even the New Testament references it as people are supposed to think of it as the house of God. Let me just insert a parenthesis here, because some people say, well, buildings really aren't important in the New Testament because there really weren't any. Well, there's not a lot of emphasis on buildings in the New Testament, but this verse does say how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. So when they did have a building, when they did have a church building, it was to be thought of as the house of God. And it was to be considered the pillar and ground of the truth. And so it is vitally important. And by the way, when there is a building in the Bible, whether Old Testament or New Testament, or particularly you get into the Revelation, when there is a building that is given for the purpose of God, it was treated very deliberately and specifically. In other words, it was an important place. So what we're talking about this morning is we build church buildings to focus on our relationship with God.
Sure.
It's a space in Sioux Falls, just like the space that your house occupies,
right,
and that Shields occupies, and that the schools occupy, and that Carnival occupies. Mm-hmm. This is a space too.
Yes. Yeah.
But it represents Him.
Amen.
It's the place where you come and you put so much focus on Him. We build these structures to facilitate other important things. So we have a structure now that facilitates our knowledge and worship of God. And God has His own place that is supposed to be designed for His own purpose. This is not just, listen, this is not just a house for God. This is the house of God, the church of the living God. He has a house for His own dedicated space. He is not contained within it, but it is a place that He recognizes as a place that He comes and that He visits and that He gathers. What do you think God's perspective is of the house that is supposed to represent Him? I mean, you have your view of this house, but it's the house of God. His perspective matters a whole lot.
Right.
I wonder sometimes what it is. This is a great truth that you take the Bible and you start from the second and third chapter, and you have Adam and Eve's fall. All right, so God could fellowship with man face to face. I mean, in the garden, they could be face to face because there was no sin. There was no separation. And Adam and Eve sinned, and therefore they had to be thrown out of the garden. And from those early chapters of Genesis all the way to the end of the Revelation, you know what the story is? It is God redeeming the people so that He could fellowship face to face with them once again. That's the story of the Bible. It is amazing to me. The whole purpose of heaven and the return of Christ is because He wants to restore to where you can be right in front of Him, where you can have fellowship with Him face to face. And so He went through the plan of sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, so that He could die for your sin, His life for yours in your place, and enabled you to be able to have a fellowship with Him again. But ultimately, He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. He wants to spend time with us in a place. And so throughout the Old Testament, they first had the tabernacle. And God created a space. It was mobile, yes, but it was still a very deliberate space. And as they traveled through the wilderness, they had this space, and there were purposes inside that place. And then you had, of course, the Holy of Holies, where the high priest could go and meet with God once a year. He could make atonement for the sins of the people, and it would roll those sins forward until the time that Christ came and became the final sacrifice and could say, it is finished. The tabernacle is where God would meet with people. Now, don't lose sight of that. So remember, the purpose of the Bible is that he fellowshiped with man originally, sin came, and the whole scripture is him returning to that form again to where he could fellowship with him. But in between the two points where we actually occupy the very same space he does, he said, I want a place where I can come meet with you. Amen. Because I at least want to gather with you until we gather in heaven.
Amen.
And so he gave the tabernacle. And then David, one day he's looking at his own space, his house. And he says, this isn't right. I've got this space, and it's incredible. And God's in a tent. Man, we got to give him something that's worthy of him. And so David comes up with the desire. God doesn't let him build it. Solomon ends up building it. And Solomon is the very one writing what we're reading right here in Ecclesiastes. And so you got to realize that God created even these spaces himself so that he could have a place until the final plan is completely done and redeemed, where he could meet with us. And so he did that with the tabernacle, and then he did that with the temple. And now he does it with the church of the living God, the house of God. That's the space you're sitting in right now, the house of God.
Yes. Yeah.
A place designed for you to meet with him. Now, this isn't the only place you can have a relationship with God, is it?
No.
No. No, you can have a relationship with him lots of places. I can have a relationship with God anywhere I want, and you can, and it seems like people's favorite, you know, place to justify is the lake or hunting or, you know, something when the time comes. And it's like, you know, I don't have to go to church to know God, and I don't have to go to church to worship God. And that is absolutely right. No, you don't. But how can you reasonably justify all these other structures and going to them for that purpose, and then not valuing the one that God himself gave for his own purpose?
Amen. That's good.
Of course you can fellowship with him in other places. That's the reason he sent Jesus Christ. But he still said, but I have a house that is dedicated to me.
Right.
And I want you to prioritize that.
Amen.
So that as you have your relationship with me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, that because you're willing to go to a restaurant to specialize in food and Chills to specialize in sporting goods, and you're willing to go to Carnival to get a nice meal, and you're willing to go to a school to learn, and you're willing to have your own house for yourself, and you go there and you gather and have a good time, would you consider prioritizing my house and your relationship with me? These structures aren't the only place these things happen, but they specialize in them. And when you really want to focus on those, you go there. When you really want what they have, you go to their space. You go to their place.
Right.
No, you don't have to go to a restaurant to eat, but I bet you do sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
When you don't have what you want at home, or when you just want... Sometimes you just want a bunch of meat that they just keep stacking on your plate and cutting off the deal. And it's like, man, that's in concentrated form, buddy. And I mean, it was such a great illustration last night, because they kept coming and coming and coming. And honey, I love our food at home, but we don't do Carnival for supper every night. But man, when you want a big dose of it, that's where you go.
Yep.
What about God? When you want a big dose. When you want something where everything is designed to give it to you about as best as it can be.
Sure.
You have a church. You don't have to go to school to learn, but you do. The further you want to go, the more likely it is you're going to find yourself in a classroom learning in that space.
Yeah.
I don't have to go home to see my family. I have Zoom. I've got live stream. You know what Malachi says? God himself said one of the comparisons that we need to make is offer that to thy governor. and see if he thinks that's appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
It is valid for us in the eyes of God to say, wait a minute, apply that to something else. You wouldn't just meet with your family by live stream. So consider maybe we could meet with God's people in God's house, that we would prioritize that.
Amen.
I don't have to go to the store to buy stuff, but man, we do, because we sure don't want to have to make it. You know, it's a whole lot easier to go to the store and buy it. But what do you think if someone honors a structure to all of these other things, but largely ignores the structure for God's part in their life? That'd be challenging.
Yeah.
That's why I said I just wanted to reason with you this morning. Just to recognize there's a house of God that represents a space like all of these other spaces. A church building, a church is the most important place for a relationship with God, not the only place. Your closet or your couch or your recliner may be a place you meet with God regularly. I hope that you do that.
Amen.
That is absolutely essential.
Yes, sir.
But that's not the couch of God.
Yeah.
It's not the recliner of God. You have that. Use it. God desires to meet with you there. But he has a house. And he says, I want to meet with all of you here, where you can do something together that you can't do on your own. A place that is designed not just for your family, not just for retail, not just for eating, but it is designed for him. I'll just give you a few practical applications to this before we end. You know, we carve out a regular piece of our schedule to go to the house of God. This house of God has specific times where they meet. And it's not as many times as your workplace says that you need to come to work, for the most part. It's just, okay, we're gonna have the day of the Lord, we have the Lord's day, and we're gonna have some times to meet here where you can come together for this purpose. And therefore, we, just like we do lots of other places, we carve out times where we can do business that needs to be done for that particular space. And this particular house of God has places that are listed on a track. It says, these are the times that we meet.
Yeah.
I've been in school a lot in my life, and they told me, these are the times we meet. And I went.
Yeah.
And there are times when a doctor says, okay, I got a doctor's office designed for your physical health. This is the time you come. And then we go. And he shows up an hour later, but that's beside the point. That won't happen here. Yeah. And then, you know, something that's interesting is we ought to be willing to take greater risks to get here. You know, you ever think about it? Consider, I've got this space, house of God, and I got this as my business. And so here we go to make some money and to conduct business. And then here we have the house of God. And then I get a runny nose. And I'm trying to decide, uh-oh, I got a cold coming on, maybe. And so we then decide, okay, which space? If we're willing to go to one space and the threshold for sickness is like, okay, well, I know, but I got to make money, then we need to just remember, this is a space that I was willing to risk this much to get to. But this space, I'm not willing to risk that much. And it's like, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ too much to infect them with my cold. I don't care about my coworkers. They can die for all I care. No, we don't want to think like that. I just want to reason with you to say, wait a minute, if we treat these other structures like this, we go at the times that they operate most effectively for what they do, and we have a particular threshold for what it takes to miss and what it takes, what we'll still go through to get there. I'm just saying, we have this space, the house of God, that specializes in our walk with God and our relationship with God, and at least that we would consider, would we give it at least what we would give these other spaces in our lives? We consider it to be a place we most easily hear from God.
Yeah.
I know a lot of things about your pastor. One of the things I know for sure is that he wants this place to represent God better than anything else this place does. He doesn't consider this the house of the pastor. He considers this the house of God. You're going to find that the music would be a little bit different here than it would be in all these other spaces. You know why? Because he's a holy God.
Amen.
And this isn't the house of Top 40. This isn't the house of Nashville. This isn't the house of pop. This isn't the house of CCM. It is the house of God, and this God is a holy, holy God. It's designed for a God who deals with the spirit, and there's plenty of places to deal with the flesh. You ought to come here and say, this is God's house. It is going to emphasize the spirit above everything else. It's already been referenced, but we strive harder to avoid distractions in this place because of the importance, because of who people are trying to focus on.
Yes, sir.
I know there's not a single person in this room who would say, I would rather have the attention than give it to him.
Right.
But sometimes that's what happens.
Right.
That's why there's an effort, not because we want to be like a library and just keep silence. Well, libraries are pretty particular about those kinds of things, and they'll actually ask you to get rid of your cell phone or get rid of your food or to take your child to a different section. Libraries do that because they're serious about learning. And the house of God is serious about being sure that people can hear from God. So we desire to maximize our ability to hear. And it's different from what we hear individually. We go to these other places, and a lot of times they're fine-tuned for us. But here's one of the neat things about coming to the house of God. You'll notice you don't get to come and say, okay, there are 6 messages on the menu today. Brother Jet, I want this one. And I want this one. And somebody else says, oh, I want this one over here. Well, I want this one, but I want it a little lean. I don't want this one quite so heavy. No, that's one of the neat things about the house of God. You come and you leave it to God to decide, here's what I hear from your word.
Amen.
And I'll take it and I will respond to it.
Amen.
Boy, once we grasp the importance of this place, can we just look at the verse again? Because we're dealing with the house of God. We're going to get to the rest of it tonight. But he says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. He says, be careful of your treatment of it. When you go there, be careful. Keep your foot means like watch your step there. And it is such an important place that he says, be on guard when you come into that place more than any other. I'm telling you, it is so easy. That the longer you've come to a place like this, the easier it is to let familiarity breed contempt.
Yeah, that's right.
And we get comfortable and it becomes our house. It becomes our place. It becomes our church, and it is, but we have to always go back. This is his house.
Yes.
It becomes so familiar to us the longer we come. Once you let it become the place where you think about this brother who offended you, or that drives everything, or it becomes the house of your friends. It's the place I come to just be with my friends. This is a great place to be with friends. It's a great place to be with family. For many of you, this is your family. But even at that, this is the house of God.
Amen.
Psalm 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Right.
It's a particular place for that purpose. He says, so watch your step, keep your foot, when you go to the house of God. The extent to which we watch our step or keep our foot at God's house is largely controlled by whether we truly see this as his house or not.
That's good.
It's a good reminder for us, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I love the church I attend. Man, you love the church you attend, and for so many of you, it's your life. And that's a great thing. It seems that a family that loves their family, they're going to love their spiritual family as well. That is a wonderful thing. But sometimes we just need to stop and say, wait a minute. We've got a lot of spaces in our life. But I need to be reminded that this space is God's house. Can I just ask you, based on how well you protect it in your time, where does it rate? Your view of God might be represented in part by how you view His space. He's got one space. I don't mean only one church. I just mean that in your life, He has one space in your life, just like all these others have their place. He has His, and it's this. How do you prioritize it? Good. Do you see it as vitally important? Do you protect the time that you ought to be in God's house like you protect the space of your job, like the space for your class, like the space for your tea time, like the space for your carnival reservation? Where does this one get protected? Where does it get, where does the house of God get priority in your giving? In that, man, I'm gonna pay my doctor, I'm gonna pay my insurance dues, and I'm gonna pay, you know, the rising prices at Walmart are raising, and prices at Shields are raising, and I don't know, I just have to do it. All of us know, all of us feel that pain. But we have this space, the house of God, and our time and our resources and how we apply them to His house can give us a fair representation of how we prioritize God's part and relationship in our lives. Yeah. One of the greatest things that happens here are people restored spiritually. Yeah. Some of you have been saved here. Yeah. Maybe some of you have been baptized here. I'm telling you, it's a great place. This is the best place you could ever decide at an invitation time. Man, I've set God aside. I need a relationship with God. And you could trust Him as your Savior in this very service.
Amen.
This could become the most special place you've ever been to because your eternity was changed from hell to heaven.
Yes.
At this place.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to bow your heads if you would. We're going to give, even before we stand, I just want to give you a moment, really challenge you to think about the reasoning of this message, this house of God, this church of the living God, pillar and ground of the truth. I'm not asking you to believe what I've tried to convince you of some interpretation from Scripture, but just based on every other space and place in your life, would you be honest with God? God, where does this one fit? How important is it? This week and how I prioritize all these things, what is this week, the separation of my time and resources, going to say about His space and His place? Would you do business with God for a few moments?